Inside on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Creamer Law, Business Law, CreamerLaw.com. And Des Moines Computer Repair. You want your computer to work, and that's what they do. DesMoinesComputerRepair.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. We are going to be talking about, with Sam Creamer from the Creamer Law Firm, the Dynasty Family Business. That sounds sort of like a old TV show, right? There's ultimately just a couple of things you can do with the business, and Sam's suggesting maybe you should build a dynasty out of it. Welcome back to the News Hour, Sam. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Michael. It's great to be here. Before we get to our topic for today, I'd like to remind our listeners about something that was briefly discussed last month when I was here, and that is that there is, in fact, a business property tax credit, which business owners who utilize their business can take advantage of.
Right.
It's similar, but not exactly like a homestead credit. And it's just one of those things that there's no reason not to take advantage of. So before we get to our topic of the day, I just wanted to remind people that that's available.
It is tax time.
And it is tax time, both income taxes as well as property taxes.
Right. And to get that property tax reduction or that credit, what do you have to do?
Basically, you talk to the county assessor, and they'll provide you with a form, and it's one of those things that you either get it or you don't, and the amount's determined based on a very complicated formula. It's something that is not difficult to get, but easy to overlook.
There you go. And I'm sure all the cities within the sound of our voice are pleased that you're bringing that up.
Cities and counties.
Cities and counties. Well, let's talk about this idea of building a dynasty for your business, Sam. There are a couple of options that anybody has when regard to their business and what they're going to do down the line, right?
That's exactly right. Most businesses either go bankrupt and close, which nobody particularly wants to do, or they sell the business outside of the family, which can make for a very comfortable legacy for the family if there's no one in to work it. And finally, you can create a family dynasty business. And by family dynasty business, basically what I'm talking about is a business that's able to transfer from generation to generation, that the dynasty is ultimately created by the founder and passes on through other family members, or quite frankly, key employees for these purposes can be family.
Now, there are certain characteristics that you have to have be necessary to acquire this potential of being a family dynasty business, but they're not necessarily, well, they're not guaranteed. It doesn't guarantee that your business will become a dynasty.
Michael, I've been practicing law for over 35 years, and the things that I have found in dynasty family businesses are certain characteristics that if a business has them, they can become a dynasty family business, but if they don't have them,
you can't do it.
You can't fix it.
All right, let's roll down the list. What do you need to do?
Well, the first thing, and it may sound like the most obvious, but it's got to actually be a business.
Mm.
A business is different than a job. I define a business as a series of processes and procedures which predict a common outcome. A job is whatever you do to achieve that outcome. Mm-hmm. And so many different businesses are, in fact, so task-related that they don't really have that overall strategy. They don't have the processes in place so that the next generation can, in fact, step in.
So it's got to be a business.
It's got to be a business to start with. Another thing you need is it has to have a culture that's conducive to becoming a dynasty family business.
What does that mean?
Now, a culture is sort of the atmosphere. It is the interrelationships of the people. It's the overall perspective that the people who work there have. And if you're going to be a dynasty family business, it's got to be a business where the culture is such that it's dynamic, such that they're willing to listen to change, new ideas are welcomed, and there's not going to be the bickering and the office politics that so often poisons a business in its first generation.
And you're kind of into my area here because this is mostly talking about a brand. That business has to have a brand of some kind. If you're in manufacturing, emphasizing accuracy, restaurant cleanliness and friendliness and good food, those types of things, right?
Exactly, Michael. If it doesn't have a brand, if it doesn't have an identity, it's very difficult to pass it on to the next generation. There's ultimately no they're there.
Right. Got it. All right.
Compensation is another important factor. Sometimes when you have family members in a family business, the family member gets, overcompensated. And that can create some real distrust and disloyalty within the business. Now, I'm not saying that people shouldn't compensate their family members well, but I think that you've got to look at the compensation package as a total to make sure that everybody is comfortable with where they are.
And if that's there, it could, if that overcompensation is there, it could really damage the brand or the culture of the company?
It damages the brand. Yeah. It damages the culture. But more importantly, it causes distrust among the employees and will ultimately hurt the bottom line of the business.
Got it. All right. So we talked about it has to be a business, got to have a culture, the compensation worry. What else?
You've got to have communication and training. Communication is really one of the keys to be able to create a dynasty, i.e. to create a business that can pass from generation to generation. You've got to be able to talk about the business as a business rather than the business of the business. Now, what I mean by that is McDonald's is of itself a business.
Right.
The business of McDonald's is selling fast food. Among others, other things. But the point is that you've got to be able to talk about Flying Mango as a business as opposed to how the brisket's going to be prepared.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
The final thing
Flying Mango, by the way, is a nice restaurant.
Flying Mango is a terrific restaurant. I'm fortunate enough to do some legal work for them.
Really?
And I think there are wonderful barbecue places in Des Moines. But I pretty much think that cows were created in order to be brisket at Flying Mango.
At Flying Mango. Well said. All right. So we've got communication and training. What else?
You ultimately need somebody qualified to be the successor, to be the recipient, to be the next generation. That's got
to
be somebody.
Just passing it on just to pass it on may not work.
Well, you pass on in many ways. One of the ways you can pass on is in a planned transition. The other way you can pass on is by getting hit by a beer truck.
And right.
The former is better than the latter.
Yeah, absolutely.
The qualified owner will really be somebody who shares the vision but also shares the passion of the founder, of the prior generation. You can't have somebody that just does it because dad did it. It doesn't work.
You know, is that, you know, sometimes we see where second or third generation business owners oftentimes don't make it because they may not have the passion that the founder had. There's a lot of reasons. I understand.
There's many reasons. But again, passion is a necessary element, meaning your business won't succeed because you've got it, but you're darn sure well proven that it will fail if you don't have it.
Got it. All right. What's next?
Well, Michael, it turns out that the Live Forever plan has not worked very successfully to date.
You know, I was just with you a couple of Saturdays ago, and that got a big chuckle from the audience. You were at Iowa State Education Association, ISEA, here in town, talking about a pre-retirement planning for the individuals there. And you made mention of this plan of living forever.
It's startling, the number of business owners, the number of individuals who really think that either they are going to live forever or if they're gone, they don't care, they're gone.
Right.
And that really isn't the best way to treat your family. That's not the best way to treat your constituents, whether those constituents are employees, shareholders, co-owners.
All right. So I imagine that with having a business and the culture of compensation, we're talking about training and having the passion, that you got to be sort of successful going into this to create a dynasty?
Michael, you cannot pass on. You cannot create a dynastic business if it's not profitable.
Yeah.
I mean, passing on losses is something that people have tried to do for generations, and I actually have a list of people I would like to pass my liabilities to. But having said that, ultimately the business has to be successful.
Got it. All right. So let's now talk about this passage of ownership. What has to go into all of this?
Again, Michael, the focus of a dynasty family business is that it is, in fact, a dynasty. Okay. It does, in fact, pass. There are two ways it can pass. It can pass during the lifetime of the founding owners, or it can pass after the owner passes.
All right. And when on either side of that, after the owner passes, that might be pretty simple. But if you've got lots of people in the mix, do they carry this on via stock option, or how do they do that?
There are lots of ways to do this, but really the most important way, and arguably the best way, is to sell membership units or sell stock in some kind of buy-sell arrangement or some kind of warranty. Michael, people try to give their business to their next generation, whether that's child or grandchild, whether that's key employees. It's my finding that unless the successor has what I'll call skin in the game, meaning they have actually invested something for their ownership, they don't seem to have the same focus. In order to make a sale, whether that sale is through a will and an estate, whether that sale is through a trust, or whether that sale is through a buy-sell agreement, that sale has to be documented, and those documents are important. That sale, even though it's to a family member, needs to be in writing. That sale, even though it's to a family member, needs to specify terms. That sale to a family member must specify how payment's going to be made.
Even a family member.
Especially
a family member. Yeah.
If you look at families that have a business, oftentimes you'll see that the next generation is comprised of two, three, or four generation members. Not all of them are well-suited or want to be in the business.
True.
In the absence of a will or a trust or more particularly some kind of documentation of a sale, one or two of the siblings will get pieces of the – in the absence of the documentation, everybody gets an equal share of the business. It's our finding that those individuals who are not actually actively involved in the business become experts in how to run the business – and are very good at telling the people with the experience, with the day-to-day responsibilities, how to do things. This is not good for a family, and it's even worse for a business.
I would imagine it does cause all kinds of consternation in the family.
Families can be helped dramatically by making a plan, making a document, making an arrangement such that it's clear on how this is going to go, and it puts the assets in its best hands.
Now, I have to be honest with the folks that are listening. I am not an attorney, nor do I purport to be. So oftentimes, and I'm really grateful for this, you provide us with an outline. And one of the points here that I think is very interesting is that this whole idea of a sale of stock amongst family members or having that done can be used to refute allegations of a gift.
Oftentimes, owners of family, when they want to pass, owners of family businesses, when they want to pass on the ownership, we'll make what I'll call a bargain sale to a family member. Let's say that the business stock is worth $100. What they'll do is they'll sell it to Sam for $60. If there is a document, a buy-sell agreement, a sale agreement, a warrant, a document that shows how much was paid, how it was computed, why it's relatively fair market value, that would avoid a gift. Now, it can't necessarily avoid a gift because if it's too cheap, it's still too cheap.
Right.
But by the same token, what that does is it allows other family members to look at it and say, okay, Sam's paying for it. Okay, so at least there is the appearance that it's an arm's length transaction. And that can go a long ways to assuaging family jealousies and problems.
Yeah, and nobody wants that at the end of the day.
Nobody wants that ever,
yeah.
Whether they're alive or dead.
All right. So next, where are we at?
Well, where we're at is trying to think through how that purchase or sale should be structured. Arguably, the best is to do it at fair market value. And fair market value is more of an art than a science. Pricing is always an issue in these things. The second thing is oftentimes the buyer has no money. And accordingly, it has to be over a period of time. Sometimes the sale is from the company itself, and sometimes the sale is from the current owners. Again, documentation of that is critical because these things can have very extreme tax consequences to either a seller or to the buyer.
Mm. Lots of moving parts here.
Lots of moving parts, and it's very easy to make a small mistake into a big one. So it's very important that when you're doing these things that you involve your team. And, of course, your team should include your attorney who is experienced in these kinds of things, but also an accountant and a banker. We have found that if you have a continuity of management, meaning the vendors, the customers, the employees have an idea, not necessarily a complete specification of what the ultimate plan is, the plan will be much smoother, both for the company as well as for the one that's going to ultimately run the Dynasty family business.
What gets watched gets done, and what gets written down is probably better than just a handshake.
Handshakes are wonderful. Handshakes are important. Handshakes are what happens after you sign the document.
There you go. Excellent. His name is Sam Creamer, ladies and gentlemen. He's been our guest this afternoon talking about building a dynasty business. How do you go about that? What does that business have to be before you can even consider passing this on to other family members and ways in which that gets done? If you want more about this, we will have links on the radio blog to Sam's website, the Creamer Law Firm. Thanks so very much, Sam, for doing this.
Thank you for this opportunity.
All right. Sam Creamer, ladies and gentlemen, the Creamer Law Firm. We're going to step aside, find out what happened today on Wall Street. That's next here on the Business News Hour.